Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. In what should be the lead story across the board on all of the major news networks, on every major newspaper, and is not, is that a man was arrested near Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home, not just with a weapon, a variety of weapons, burglar's tools, and other items that implied he not only wanted to kill, assassinate the justice, he wanted to kidnap him and do who knows what. This man apparently was going to the home of Kavanaugh in the wee hours of the morning, saw a couple marshals and panicked, and then turned himself in. This is insane. And this was a 26-year-old man who was motivated by liberal politics. He said that he was concerned about what might happen with Roe v. Wade because of the leaked draft. He was concerned about these mass shootings. And he said he wasn't thinking straight. You know, it was not that long ago, we talked about a survey that came from the Southern Poverty Law Center that showed of all the demographics between Republicans and Democrats, young and old, it was young Democrat men. 44% favored the idea of assassinating politicians they thought were causing harm to democracy or the country. And then it's not even a week later, we have this story. And you know what the craziest thing is? The group that doxed the homes of the justices, Ruth sent us, announced they will be returning to his home in violation of the law, and Merrick Garland has done nothing. So do you blame me when I'm like, yeah, I think there's going to be a civil war if there's not one already started? Because you have people breaking the law with no consequence. And this is exactly what I warned about. If you don't set the boundary, you come to the you protest the justice's house, we arrest you, you get a slap on the wrist, you go on your way. If you don't draw the line there, they escalate it. And this is exactly what just happened. And once again, Merrick Garland will not be enforcing the law against these people who are in clear violation of it. So I can only make assumptions as to what happened. So we'll talk about that. We got a bunch of other stories. We got this Chesa Boudin, or however you pronounce his name, Soros-backed DA in San Francisco has been recalled. Woo. He's gone. People, they actually like it when their laws are enforced. San Francisco's become a mess. There's poop everywhere. There's shoplifting. There's mass raids on stores. And then the House just passed what many people are calling a symbolic gun control bill that is just absurdly unconstitutional, raising the gun age, or the age to buy a rifle, from 18 to 21, which just on its face is a violation of the Second Amendment. This probably won't go anywhere. I think even Mitch McConnell said it's not going to happen. We'll talk about that. And we've got to talk about these books in schools because our guest is actually taking action on this. Joining us today is Tommy Altman.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name's Tommy Altman. I'm running for Congress in the 2nd District of Virginia, which is my hometown. So, you know, my wife and I were born and raised there in the district. We grew up in Chesapeake. And honestly, man, it's an honor to run and work to earn the votes of people that we grew up with. Honestly, it's just been a lot of fun. It really has been. It's crazy. We're just in a crazy time in the world right now. And, I just tell people, hey, man, go check out our website. It's TommyAltman.com if you want more information. I'm a special operator serving on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq.
And now you got I think you won what, a couple of lawsuits against these lewd books.
Yeah, so it's interesting, and so we've came to our attention that some of these books that are so sexually explicit in our school libraries, and you know, of course, you go to those school boards and people are trying to get them taken off the, you know, the library books, the bookshelves, and there's people are getting thrown out of the school boards and telling them, you know, hey, you can't even read the books in here and everything else. And I'm like, so finally, I was like, well, I started looking at the, what's the other side of the aisle do? They've always been taking us to court for the longest time, and that's how they win. So I said, man, let's take some action. There's got to be legal action. If we can't go through our elected officials, we got to be able to go through the judicial process. And so, yeah, we sued regarding two books. One is Genderqueer. It's the most controversial book in all the United States. And then the other one is The Court of Mist and Fury. And so one is, one's heterosexual, one's homosexual in nature. And so this is simply, we're not asking to ban the books. We're simply asking for parental rights to be restored. So for parental consent to be given for minors to view sexually explicit material.
We'll get into all that too. That's really, really interesting. So cool. Thanks for joining us.
Yep,
we also have Luke Rutkowski.
Hey guys, I came here with one very simple message, and that is that inflation is theft. And if you agree with that message, you could also get this shirt in many different ways on thebestpoliticalshirts.com. There's also a big discount for members on lukeuncensored.com. Thanks for having me. This should be a very good conversation. I'm excited to get into all the craziness that's only going to be amplifying and getting a lot more crazy from here.
You need to like sneak on that shirt and the Fed somewhere.
I know. I have my like slogan hidden somewhere, but end the Fed definitely is a maybe sleeves.
Yeah.
But we'll
repeal
see.
The Federal Reserve Act.
There you go.
That's one step.
Absolutely.
Last night was it was kind of a rough psychological night after the show. I was like really kind of thinking like for the first time the inflation thing was kind of coming home, and I thought it does feel like 1928, kind of like from a broad scale, and like. We got to make sure we do everything in our power not to become like the Nazi Party, because that didn't happen immediately. It was like a 10-year process of like going after the other, blaming other people, political prisoners, taking the guns. It's just
Talking about Democrats,
talking about the left. Like we should not come down on the left, because that is what the Nazis did. They came down on the other. We got to be careful that we do not start othering people.
I think you have it backwards, Ian.
Whatever direction it's headed.
It's the Democrats are trying to seize the guns. It's the Democrats who are voting in lockstep.
I know
war.
It's not an exact replica the Democrats of the past. Censoring. The past is only a blueprint. We just got
to
make
tell
sure
them to stop being Nazis.
Of course, and we need to live the example so that they follow our example. What's up,
everybody? I don't know if there's a path out of that, to be completely honest.
Man, it is terrifying.
Two sides clashing, an unstoppable force.
Honestly, I mean, that's why I'm running. I sure hope there is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the only alternative is violence on the streets.
Yes.
And so, I mean, having...
Which has already been happening for
right,
years.
But I mean, it's the side that actually does not advocate for violence, doesn't like guns and everything else. What I'm really worried about are the people that are comfortable with violence then taken to the streets. That's when things really would get bad. So, right. I mean, having been overseas and seen violence in the streets in other countries, I don't want to see it here.
I think a better way to put it is I think Antifa loves violence. I think these far left extremists love engaging in it, but they're not good at it.
No, I'm saying they're not good at it, though.
The issue is when the warriors actually decide to come out, and that's when things get crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about that in this first segment. We also have Lydia.
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep us from getting super black-pilled tonight. Hopefully, it'll be a great night. Excited to hear what Tommy's been up to. It sounds like a really positive change. I'm looking forward to it.
Before we get started, head over to timcast.com and become a member to help support our work. As members, you get access to exclusive segments from this show Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. This is the Timcast IRL After Dark, not family-friendly version of the show where we say really all, we swear a lot.
After hours.
We show things that people, we talked about, you know, the other night, it was really bad. We were, like, two nights ago, I think we were talking about the child abuse, what's going on with these drag queen kid things.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, a photo of a kid with a nude adult man. Like, this is the kind of stuff that, people need to hear. But you're helping support our work, calling these things out, exposing what's going on. And you will also be supporting our infrastructure. We work with Rumble because we want to get away from big tech censorship and become more resilient. And you're supporting our journalists. So head over to timcast.com, sign up. Don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's get into the first big story. Breaking news from earlier today. Armed man who wanted to kill Brett Kavanaugh arrested near Justice's home. California man was in possession of a gun and burglary tools. The man, 26-year-old Nicholas John Rosk of Simi Valley, California, was carrying a firearm, according to Fox News. He also had burglary tools. The federal affidavit filed against the would-be assailant states Rosk was in possession of pepper spray, zip ties, a hammer, a crowbar, duct tape, and a tactical knife. in addition to a Glock 17 pistol with two magazines and ammunition. Sources for the Post claimed the man was angered over a leaked draft of a February Supreme Court opinion that could possibly signal the overturning of Roe v. Wade. They indicated he was also upset about the recent spate of mass shootings. This is clearly modern Democrat liberal politics motivating this guy to try and kill a Supreme Court justice. Now, I want to show you this. This is the Southern Poverty Law Center's poll that came out 1 week ago. Section 4, partisanship and violence. Total approval for, quote, assassinating a politician who is harming the country or our democracy. Shockingly, younger Republican men, one third of them agree with that. Younger Democratic men, 44%, the largest group, support political assassinations. Now, I know it's bad because we have this young Democrat-minded individual who is apparently he's charged with attempted murder. Right. That's it, charged with attempted murder. Young Republican women were at 40% in support of assassinations, and young Republican men at 34. Young Democratic
women. That's what I was talking about earlier. You know, that's the other side of the aisle. That's what that's the concern, honestly. You know, I mean, you talk about violence in the streets. It's probably
why the reason I would say young Republican men are probably of the younger demographic, the least likely to support. They're not. Young Democrat women were the least likely. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Well, but I would say one of the reasons younger Republican men are lower in support of this is because many of them may have actually seen violence. Many of them are veterans.
Absolutely. But that's the thing. I mean, it's the younger group of people. You know, it's not the older group. So it's the next generation coming up that they're so frustrated with our political system right now that this is what they believe the alternative is. And it is. If people aren't being heard, that is the alternative. For sure. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. That's what you see it all the time. Well, those are where revolutions come from.
Another aspect to understand here is that the younger generation is more emotionally unstable, is more likely to be in poverty, has less ability for upward economic mobility.
SSRIs.
And is being dumped with big pharma medicines on top of having not harmonious relationships with partners. So when you add all of that up, you have the perfect recipe for radicalization. Right. Because if you look at what's been happening in the Middle East, you see a lot of guys who are not intelligent. IQ is also going down here in the United States. That's also a correlation with violence. So is poverty. So is relationship status. You see all of those factors going down. So politically, we are prepping the next generation of the youth to be violent people, especially when you look at the mind control that's happening on big tech social media that is pushing them to these radical ideas by censoring free speech, by censoring debate, and only allowing echo chambers to be heard, radicalizing individuals towards their political opinions even further, which is extremely dangerous. And to me, this is all being done deliberately, a part of a divide and conquer agenda, so people fight each other rather than look at the true culprits of the problems that are being created for them.
Yep. I would agree with that. I talk about it a lot, actually. One of my favorite days in my lifetime is actually September 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11, when, you know, we're still reeling in pain. Everybody's in shock because of what happened. But in that time, you know, the images that were coming out, people were covered in ashes from the towers and everything. It didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter who you voted for in the last election cycle. It didn't matter what your, you know, gender was or what religion. You were an American and we had your back. And that's what we have to get back to. If we don't get back to that, then what are we going to do as a nation?
I was there in New York City. The dust went into my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I think we should be careful. After that, we also went into, you know, Iraq. We went to Afghanistan. We got ourselves into a mess. There was a lot of cohesion. There was a lot of patriotism. But the political parties inside of the United States used it for their own personal advantage, helping the military-industrial complex, leading us astray with our foreign policy, creating a lot of devastating situations that I think, you know, we're looking back on, were absolute mistakes that we relied into.
If we could, I was there too, actually. I lived in there, and I remember hanging out with everybody on the 12th and sitting out at lunch just talking and feeling it, like making eye contact with people walking down the street.
Right.
I want that without the tragedy.
Sure.
The devastation. We don't need to scare people into that.
But there was a cohesion. There was an energy. We're in this together. You know, my friends, my family were a part of this. And you looked at your neighbor, you saw someone that was, you know, a part of your country because, you know, the whole idea was we were attacked. We need to come together. So there was a lot of strength in that moment. And there was a lot of, you know, amazing things that could have happened. But I just think, you know, we always got to be also careful in those moments as well.
But the Federal Reserve System, it's a form of attack. Inflation is a kind of theft, like you said earlier, Luke, and it's not a joke.
Yeah,
it's
the largest tax.
If people felt that attack like September 11th, I think there would be a lot more unity around it as a form of national defense.
Well, they're going to start feeling it.
People can only understand, the average person only understands single layer issues. So they say, why don't I make enough money at my job? Or they say, more importantly, why can't I afford to buy gas? And what do you get from the average, you know, millennial, or particularly millennial females who vote Democrat? It's because I'm not being paid enough by my boss.
Right.
That's not the case. That's not the case. And so they say, we need to raise the minimum wage. And you say, okay, that's layer one. What's layer two to that proposal? Increasing the minimum wage results in just generic inflation across the board, and it creates only a temporary relief that doesn't actually solve the problem.
Yeah,
but
you have
this
about
six
months.
if that.
Yep.
And so, you know, you try to explain basic economics to people, the minimum wage is completely meaningless.
Yep.
Completely. What matters is how much can you buy for the equivalent of 1 hour of labor?
Yep.
So they say, well, then we should pay more. But that number doesn't mean anything because when you just make everybody have to be paid a base rate, then the base cost of good has to go up.
Has to.
They like to point out like Denmark, and they're like, well, in Denmark, they pay $20 an hour and a burger is only $2. Totally different economy, value systems, and a different valuing of labor per hour than we have. You can't solve cultural problems with policy.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. And that's one of the things that, you know, being a small business owner, one of the things I talked to with all my, you know, staff about, I was talking to one of my buddies. And when the minimum wage went up, he thought it was a great idea. I'm like, well, sure, it's a great idea, except for now you're just simply reducing your purchasing power. It's going to happen in time. You're going to have a cycle. It's going to come back around. And then very, very soon, he was like, wait a minute. All of our supplies are way more expensive now. And it took about 6 months. I said, yep. And it's going to take you about 3 or 4 years for us to catch up to be charging again what we had again 2 years ago.
It's also
just one thing really quickly. The financial components are important here, but just back to this Kavanaugh story, because this is a big story. This is something major that has been building up incrementally to the point where even the Department of Homeland Security just issued a new memo saying that there's most likely a very big chance for more violence this summer politically because of the midterms, because of the border crisis, because of the Supreme Court decisions. So even Homeland Security is warning, saying there's going to be some internal violence and turmoil happening here in the United States. How do we de-escalate it when almost every single factor, big tech, social media, the corporate mainstream media, every politician is adding fuel to the fire? How do we stop it?
You can't.
Yep.
I don't think it's possible. Maybe it was possible 6 years ago. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe with Donald Trump, he really broke these people. But I believe that, you know, I've been covering, I was covering conflict and crisis at Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
I started covering it for Vice. I covered a little bit when I was working for Fusion, the ABC News company. And I don't see a path towards bringing this country together. What I see is you have I like to reference Stephen Marsh. He wrote the book, The Next Civil War, what he said to us, that you have a multicultural democracy and a constitutional republic in the same country trying to fight for control, and you can't have both. And he's completely right. I believe in a constitutional republic. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up traditionally Democrat, but the reason why today people who used to be on the left, like Elon Musk or Joe Rogan, are called right-wing, is because they still believe in those values of a constitutional republic. The left, absolute chaos. You, right now, You have Occupy Wall Street activists that I know tweeting in defense of telling children it's not going to lick itself.
Wow.
They have no principles. They have no moral standard other than I want power, F you. Yeah. One side has no principles. One side has standardized principles and various disagreements. You've got post-liberals, libertarians, moderates, centrists, and conservatives in one side, and then you have the psychotic death cult on the other side.
Right.
There was confrontations. There was fighting outside of that Dallas venue where they were doing those sick things with children. There was activists coming there saying, no, we're going to fight anyone who's protesting this. This is the insane level that we reach we need to understand.
I want to explain what I just said, psychotic death cult. Because I hear it all the time from the left and MSNBC. They're like, the Trump supporters are in a cult. Let me explain. The QAnon people, I think they're nuts. I completely disagree with conservative Christians on a lot of moral issues. But we can sit down and talk about the Constitution, the founding documents, the rules by which we seek to compromise and self-govern. I can sit here and say, I disagree with you conservative on tax policy. And then we all laugh, get along, and tell each other jokes. The other side puts a big neon sign up saying it's not going to lick itself. They firebomb buildings.
Yep.
We had the worst riots we've ever seen, and it's all lies. And I'm not just talking about leftists. I'm talking about the mainstream press, the corporate press. MSNBC had the nerve to come out and be like, what a shocking story. This man had weapons, and he was at Kavanaugh's home. MSNBC.
You advocated for it.
They advocated. MSNBC ran a story saying it was good that they were going to his house.
Right.
These people are absolutely deranged. Look. When Trump comes out and says something, I outright say, I think he's wrong. He talks about fraud all the time. I'm like, nah, that guy's wrong. And they call us a cult. No, I'm telling you that guy's wrong. But they come out on their own platform and say, it's good we're going to his house. Then it happens, they go, oh, heavens me. They're in a cult. They prop up whatever is not the right or whatever is not America. Yeah. And that extends to the point where they've lost their minds and you have adult men taking dollar bills from children into bikinis and thongs. You have this thing in Dallas where it says it's not going to lick itself. And they're like, this is a good and normal thing. And it's family friendly. And I'm like, no, you just have no principles, no standards, no morals. And all you do is fight for power for whatever your side is. And your side is basically whatever the other is not.
No, you're absolutely right. They actually treat it like a faith system. Mm-hmm. That's what's interesting to me. I mean, so amidst everything else, I'm also an ordained minister. So they treat it very much like a faith system. They promote it like one, defend it like one. And the interesting thing is that, I mean, even saying liberals anymore, I don't think it's accurate.
Right.
I really don't. I mean, I have friends that were liberals 5 years ago, but I wouldn't call them a liberal now. The liberal is gone. They've really been taken over by radicals. This is radical liberalism.
Well, so the interesting thing that happened is that the principled liberals have become what's called disaffected or post-liberal.
Yep.
And the people who are just tribalists have become establishment or leftist.
Right.
But it's funny because you look at a lot of these younger leftists, they're pro-guns. Mm-hmm. But they keep defending the establishment and the psychopathy of this cult.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why I'm sorry. Look, when I just got to put it this way. When they come out and they have children on stage at 21 and up gay bars, Desmond is amazing, ripping off his clothing and being handed money to do so. That's called stripping.
Yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. Anybody who knows anything about what stripping is knows that bikini bars are fully clothed.
Right.
Women dancing on poles and shaking it for men for cash, but they're wearing clothes. When you have a little boy on stage and he rips his clothes off for adult gay men who give him money.
It's pedophilia.
These are pedophiles.
Yeah.
And the left overtly defends it. And what do you get in Florida when a reasonable proposal is made? Maybe parents should know about this. They say, you're trying to ban gay people. It's like, dude, if you want to defend pedophiles, that's on you. But this is why I don't think there's reconciliation.
Yeah, and maybe not, especially for some of these issues. I talk a lot about, especially with the campaign, how you think about things on a different level. Honestly, quite honestly, I think everybody should run for office because it makes you think about things on a different level than you ever would have before. It's really interesting. But I talk a lot about just getting back to our founding principles of faith, family, and freedom, like these very basic things that, you know, some people call them trite. I think if we don't get back to the things that made us great to start with, I think we're doomed as a nation. And so some of that, I think, is absolutely right. I think it ties into what you're talking about right now.
Well, the crazy thing to me is, like, you know, policy-wise, I've always been rather liberal.
Sure.
But this day and age...
Not anymore.
I'm sorry. Like, we had a guy on the show who's progressive who said, I asked him, do you think women should be able to get an abortion at 9 months? And he said, it's the woman's choice. And I'm like, why kill the baby? You can end the pregnancy by delivering the baby and let the baby live and just drop it at a fire department. And he's like, nah, right. Woman's choice. I'm like... Okay, there's nothing there.
But then you have California that now are trying to advocate post-term abortion. And you've heard it. On the street, I've heard people say in interviews, they said, well, 7 days after birth, you know, if a woman decides to give up on the life of her child, should she be charged? Like, you mean murder a child?
In Virginia. So do you remember this in Virginia? I think it was Kathy Tran was her name. She proposed a bill, a no restriction abortion.
Yep.
And she was asked, I think it was by a judge, he said, if a woman is dilating at the point of birth, could you abort the baby? And she said, there would be no restrictions.
It's disgusting.
That's in Virginia.
It's evil. I mean, it really is evil. I mean, every society throughout human history has known that you have to protect the innocence of children. Every society. And now we are all of a sudden, very quickly in our society, okay with removing the innocence of children. I mean, that goes back to the books. You know, for me, it goes back to what you're seeing at the strip clubs, you know, with all these, it's you're normalizing pedophilia.
Let's talk about the book thing. So, you know, we've seen all this stuff. We have a story here from Fox News. Texas lawmaker planning bill to ban children from drag shows. Not appropriate at all. A lot of this is in a similar vein, where for some reason there's a big push from the left to expose children to overtly sexualized activities or overtly sexual activity. You had a lawsuit. Was it just one or were there two?
So it's combined into two. There's two different books that are in this lawsuit.
But you basically, you didn't get them banned.
No.
Parental consent is now required to display sexual content.
That's what we're seeking. Yeah. So in Virginia, you're able to take a book before a judge. It's a law. You're able to take a book before a judge and see if it's obscene. So you get a ruling on it. Mm-hmm. The judge agreed with us. My attorney, delegate Tim Anderson, and I decided, you know, take these books. There's two of them. It's The Genderqueer, again, the most controversial book in the country, and then Court of Mist and Fury. And we took them before a judge, and she ruled. The interesting thing is every single judge in Virginia Beach recused themselves.
Wow.
Said it's a political nightmare. They don't want to do it.
I'm sorry, guys. You know, I talk about Civil War conflict. We have a guy who just got arrested for attempted murder of a justice. Yep. And I say, I don't think there's a way out of this. When the judges are like, I'm scared and too cowardly to stand up for values. Yep. And the only thing I can see is their weak men will lead to hard times.
Oh, absolutely. Always. I mean, that's what we're seeing right now, quite honestly. I mean, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle, and you've had some weak politicians for a long time.
This book, Genderqueer, has writing. Some of the writing in it is overtly sexualized, saying, I want your in my... And then you have a photograph of two people performing acts on each other.
Yep.
There's actually two different images of activities being performed on each other, adult activities. This other book, what was it called?
Court of Mist and Fury.
So what? I've not heard this one, though. So what's this
book? It's one of a series... it's a three-part series, and it's actually heterosexual in nature, but the descriptions of the act of sex is so descript. I mean, they can't read. So the local news channel there, FM 99, wasn't even allowed to read it on the air.
What? Was it an FCC violation?
Yep, absolutely. No, the lady that was presenting it, she's kids, great. Huh? She was like, well, I can't read this. And so the other DJ was like, well, I'll read it. And looked at it and goes, I can't read this on there.
Wow. Yep.
But it's okay for sixth graders to have it. 10 to 12 years old. It's okay to give it to our children.
And what are they writing? These establishment leftists and liberals are writing, Republicans are banning books.
I'm a book banner.
If you believe that, you're in a cult. Yeah. I'm sorry, like, we don't allow Playboy in schools. And Playboy isn't, like, hardcore stuff.
Right.
It's, you know, pinup models, nude women. But that's not allowed.
Well, there's got to be a line. That's my point, is there has to be a line. You clearly, for Virginia Beach anyway, that school district obviously doesn't have a clear enough line. And I don't know who it is, where the failure is, where the breakdown is in administrative level. But whoever it is doesn't have a clear line. So I'm simply asking for parental rights to be restored. So parental consent for minors to view sexually explicit material, just like when you go to a movie theater.
I think one of the issues is that the whole identity of Democrats is we hate Republicans.
Oh, sure.
It started partly with Trump. I think it existed a little bit before. But they said Republicans are all bad. Trump wins. Trump is a Nazi. And now they have no choice but to stake their identity on opposing whatever it is that's right wing.
Especially if you call yourself a conservative Republican.
Oh, I mean, you guys are conservative Republicans are just off the cliff. You're so
crazy.
Far right.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan, he's a borderline socialist.
Yes.
And they call him right wing because they have every part of their identity must be in opposition to whatever it is. Maybe the good news is there won't be a major conflict between factions because they will ostracize themselves to the point where there's 10 people who hold their views.
One can only hope, right? But honestly, so I actually believe, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Honestly, I think this is a step in the right direction.
Just complaining on the internet.
No, it's good. But this is where news is now. News is no longer, you know, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. Everybody looks at that and realizes it's propaganda. You know, I had a Chinese friend who told me, he said, we don't watch the news in China because we know it's propaganda. For some reason, you Americans haven't figured it out yet.
Well, I heard that's that even Fox News was pro-gun control.
They're all pro-gun control.
Yeah. I think someone mentioned in the Super Chats that on the five, they were in favor of red flag laws.
Nope. Not me.
Right. Anybody who pays attention knows red flag laws just mean a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights.
Right.
That's it.
Well, at one time in the VA, they wanted to be able to strip you of your gun rights if they thought you had PTSD, right? So I don't trust anybody to be able to tell somebody else what their mental capacity is. I mean, we do that before a judge.
Right.
But not some doctor. We have no idea what these doctors are doing. I think it's a very dangerous road to go down. For me, when I say that, you certainly run for office, people automatically want to go, oh, well, what about the kids and everything else that's just happened? It's a tragedy. These tragedies are horrible. And, you know, I think all Americans are heartbreaks when we see this loss of innocent life, especially so young.
They don't care about kids.
They don't care. No, they don't care at all.
There's a great meme. I love it. It said, it was the Drake meme, you know, the one where he's putting the hand up and he's like, no. And the one where he's like, yes. And it says school shootings. And he's like, ooh. And then it says school bombings. And he's like, ooh.
Right.
Under Obama and Vice President Biden, we had kids being blown up. They don't care.
Right.
What they care about is they've got a wedge issue because
control.
These things like this happen all the time. Now they're like, look at the mass shootings in Chicago right. and Minnesota. I'm like, you never care about this stuff.
Nope.
They need a wedge issue for the midterms, and so they're acting like they care about kids. But I'll throw it back to what's going on with these kids in Texas. You got a rep in Texas and a rep in Florida want to make drag shows illegal with minors present. The funny thing is, it already is. I don't understand how, but the cops won't do anything.
Right.
These are adult men in sexualized outfits doing sexualized dances with a big neon sign reading it's not going to lick itself, and the kids right. are handing them money for them to dance. Right there, I'm like, okay, that's clearly over the line.
Right.
Then you had Desmond is amazing, little boy dancing on stage, stripping his clothes off as adult gay men are handing him money.
Yep.
And then you have another kid who's called Queen Lactatia, who was posing with a 99% nude man. It's a man who's basically nude, but a tiny little fabric on his junk. And the little boy's touching his arm and smiling for the camera. They're outright targeting and abusing kids.
It's
crazy. Then they're acting like they care about them and no one else does.
You know, it's funny because when I talk to people now, I tell them, we hear the word conservative a lot, but nobody defines why. Why am I conservative? And I tell people all the time, look, I'm a conservative because I believe there's a transcendent moral code. There's a right and a wrong, and there's a good and an evil. And I just have seen evil sweep across this nation for far too long unchecked. And this is what we're seeing. This is the culmination of it. That's truly evil, what you're seeing with these kids. And anybody who thinks otherwise, I think you're just sick, honestly.
Have you seen the documentary, What is a Woman? The Daily Wire.
I have not seen it. I've seen parts of it and seen the whole thing in entirety.
It is really good.
It's great.
The Daily Wire just put out some clips of, they did an audience screening. What do they call it? What do they call it?
Focus group?
Focus group. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. And it was fascinating to see the shock in regular people's faces when they were watching this stuff. But there was like one woman, she was like, there's more than two genders. And the entire room goes, what? Like, what are you talking about? I think what's happening is you've got a lot of people who have their whole identity is based on opposing whatever the yeah. right is. And they live in a media bubble.
Right.
Like you mentioned, MSNBC, CNN, Fox yeah. News. So they hear these things and they just say, okay. They think they're the norm. They think they're normal, but they're weird outliers that
right.
represent like 8% of the population.
And it's not just a media bubble. It's a social media bubble
yeah.
with the algorithms regurgitating of political views, amplifying them where people only hear each other. And then the main kind of disagreement that they may have online is that someone isn't fighting the other side too hard or is too sympathetic to the other side. And when
right.
you have that kind of environment, you're going to, of course, reap a lot of social chaos. And I think a lot of this is being done deliberately because just even a few years ago, I remember doing independent media almost 15 years ago, and it wasn't like this. This political divide wasn't like this.
Right.
There was a lot more people in the middle. There was a lot more moderates. There was a lot more people that were able to see common ground between the left and the right. It wasn't as hyperbolic, as insane, as crazy as it is now, where you literally have people arguing for the abuse of children. I mean, it's just so mind-boggling to see. So,
and it was not that long ago.
Yeah, it was not that long ago. I remember it. And you know, I remember even two and a half years ago, the first time I came on the show, the first thing I said, We need a peaceful divorce. And the conversation, when I brought it up, wasn't even taken seriously. It was like, yeah, whatever. But I was like, no, seriously, we need a peaceful divorce because there is no other way to avoid this larger clash that the ruling elites are kind of building up so we fight each other. We need to stop this immediately. We're going into very dangerous territory, and all the ingredients, all the fuel is being added to this fire, right. and it's getting out of control.
I think one way you can do that, though, and I think Roe v. Wade is a perfect example, is you start decentralizing the federal government, reducing federal government, pushing that power right down to the states. People get 50 options. They're going to start migrating to whatever area they actually identify. Yeah,
decentralized.
But that is just geographic polarization.
Sure.
What happens if Roe and Casey are overturned, Republicans win a majority, they win the White House, and then do a federal ban on abortion?
I think it's going to be like a problem.
So here's what I'll say to both you guys. Reading the history of the Civil War, what did we see? The first thing that happened was a peaceful divorce.
Sure.
Before Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated, 7 states said, we hereby secede. And that was it. Months went by with nothing. They were like, that's it, we're done. And then Abraham Lincoln gets in and he goes, I don't recognize that as being legitimate. Fort Sumter in South Carolina, he's got occupying forces and the states are, all of them are basically like, dude, you can't be here.
Right.
The fight breaks out. And even after the Battle of Fort Sumter, I think it was Lee, I'm not sure. They didn't know if it was actually the start of a civil war or just some small skirmish, and that would be the end of it.
Sure.
But because of the actions by the federal government,
yep.
Several other states were like, yo, responded. This is crazy. Right. What are you doing? And they backed out, ended up joining the Confederacy. West Virginia, Virginia splits into 2 different states. So the other issue is, when it comes to the geographic hyperpolarization, as you described it, Tommy, the South was angry. Because laws were passed, the Fugitive Slave Act.
Right.
That if slaves escaped to the North had to return them. That was federal law.
But then they didn't.
The North said no.
Right.
Now here's the issue. I think the North was right not to do it.
Sure.
I think slavery was completely wrong and amoral and needed to be ended.
Yeah.
Many in the North were willing to fight that fight. But because of this, Southern states said, if the law will not be respected, there is no agreement between us and you, we leave. And that's what precipitated the secession.
Sure.
Which ultimately leads to a fight over weapons, which leads to a fight. So I fear, I said this last year, if Roe v. Wade and Roe and Casey are overturned, the Republicans then campaign on banning abortion federally. Many think they won't because Republicans are more states' rights. But let's say they do. They win in November. We're 5 months out, but they can't get past a filibuster and they won't be able to get past a veto.
Sure.
Then Donald Trump campaigns and says, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to sign the bill. It's the Save the Children Act. And then he does.
Right.
Then you get a Supreme Court that is conservative. You get Congress and the Senate and the executive branch. The bill hits Trump's desks. Day one, he signs it. Then you get blue states, California, Illinois, New York, who refuse to shut down abortion clinics. What happens then? Will Trump send in federal authorities to do it? Will you then get states saying, we will not recognize federal law enforcement? Will it result in conflict over these clinics? I'd be willing to bet Antifa and other left-wing groups would show up and fight with federal authorities at abortion clinics. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it's likely.
Yeah,
to happen.
I think that's the. I mean, I think that's the most extreme case, obviously. But if you took that power and you push it back down to the states, where I think it belongs, I think our forefathers would say that kind of power belongs to the state, not the federal level. The federal level, look, the federal government has just become this all-consuming beast that thinks that and people. The vast majority of Americans go, well, let's just let the government legislate. Why? They've done a very poor job of it. Why are we going to trust that? We push that power back down as low as possible to the states or local localities, and that's where we had the most say. That's always what I'm an advocate for.
I do agree. I think it may be the only option we have. So I was asked by this progressive what I thought about Roe v. Wade, and I'm like, I'm pro-choice. But I think at this point, the best thing we can do is let states be states. And
sure.
Conservatives can go to red states, and then blue states can go to blue. Blue people can go to blue states or whatever.
My answer is the same, except I'm pro-life, and I think it should be down to the states. You know, I'd still be like, look, I believe that life begins at conception, so I would always, seek to push the needle in that direction. However, I think it's a state rights issue. I don't think it's a federal issue. I really don't. And I've had people go, "Oh, you're passing the buck." I'm like, I'm not passing the buck. I'm giving you 50 options. I think it's the safest, it's the nicest thing to do, most compassionate thing that we do to people. Give them 50 options.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is just decentralization.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I think the more we allow individuals to make the right decisions for themselves, the more we win. Whenever we have a big bureaucratic government, we have a government that, of course, rules for the many and makes many mistakes.
Right.
And I think that's exactly what we have right now. We have way too much money invested in it. We have way too much policies. We have way too many decisions being made by this bureaucratic bureaucratic Becky Force that doesn't give a damn about the average person and is serving the needs of the special ruling class and helping them out.
The problem is the ruling class, too. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we're supposed to be a constitutional republic. Instead, we've become this, you got this weird oligarchy going on.
Technocratic corporocracy run by bankers and shadowy elites.
A lot of C's, but yeah.
Yes.
You know what it feels like? It feels like, you know, wealth only lasts a few generations, they say, three generations. And it feels like the ruling elites, the politicians, the wealthy kids, they're not good at running these institutions and organizations.
No.
So you look at everything and you're like, why does it feel like these things are falling apart? It's like, oh, we used to have oligarchs and ruling elites and barons. Right. Their great grandkids have no idea how to run this stuff, and it's all just collapsing around them.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, but it's a problem when you have these congressmen and congresswomen going into Congress not worth anything, and then 4 years later worth $10 million. Yep. That's a problem.
Yep.
Where'd you get that from? I know what your budget was. I know what your salary was. And there's no way, even if you didn't spend a single penny.
I guess people are saying you got to invest where Nancy Pelosi invests because she knows something.
Hey, I said, you know how to be the most favorite congressman in all of the nation? Every single week, just say, hey, these are my investment opportunities.
Yeah. We got a bunch of bills on our desk. Here's how they're going to vote on them. Here's what I'm investing in.
You got to say that. Hey, this is what I'm investing in.
Yeah. There was entire TikTok channels just built on what Nancy Pelosi was trading
crazy.
In the stock market that got censored and deleted and taken down.
Well, listen, it's criminal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Martha Stewart went to jail for it. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I mean, if Martha Stewart can go to jail for it, what are we doing here? But I think we just have to elect the right people. I really do.
Well, let me pull up this story here. I think there's some good news, some positive. I don't want to be all negative. Check this out. Democrat turned Trump Republican wins landslide victory. People don't want Biden's dysfunctional America.
That's the
Jeff Van Drew slammed Biden as the worst president in American history. He's correct.
Yeah, that's also true. Yep.
And what did he get? 85% of the vote.
Wow.
You know what this means?
Red wave?
This is a moderate.
Yeah,
he was a Democrat. Yeah. Now he's like, the Democratic Party's nuts. I'm running Republican. And 85% of the vote because people, they don't want political extremes.
Yeah.
The left wants to paint the right as extremists. No, this proves right here, overwhelmingly, regular people are just saying enough to the crazy. The good news here is, now this is a primary. This is a guy who ran as a Democrat the first time. You take a look at this story we have from the New York Times. A Georgia mystery. How many Democrats voted in the GOP primary? A lot of people are saying Democrats are voting in Republican primaries to sabotage Trump. Well, the New York Times says, actually, these people are swing voters.
Right.
Swing voters are moving over in large numbers to the Republican Party. Democrats are quitting and joining Republicans, but you have a large group of swing voters moving over. I think what's happening is, if the Democrats' whole identity is just, we oppose the Republicans.
Right.
If the best thing they have to offer us is culture war and January 6th, while regular people are spending $5 a gallon on gas, they're just going to be like, I'm going to vote for the guys talking about gas.
Yes.
That's it.
You're 100% right. You know, we just had our candidate forum last night, and that's what I talked about over and over again. So look, all the rest of these things really don't matter. At the end of the day, the average American is pissed off that we're having to decide whether or not we're putting gas in the car or buying food for our kids. That's what we're mad about.
And you can't get baby formula as it is, so that one's out.
Yeah, we're going to rely on European nations to provide American families with baby formula.
Wow.
That's a bit of a problem.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think what we're seeing with this trend, the shift from Democrats, not all of them, I think what may end up happening is Republicans, they're saying, you know, CNN said 80-year high for Republican polling.
Right.
If they're up 2.5, they're actually up 10.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible come November, we actually see that all of this psychotic behavior from Democrats and failed economic policy exposes the emperor having no clothes. These people on the left who think they're in the majority, who think
it's a horrible picture, by the way.
Oh, right.
If the emperor's Biden. Come on.
No. But these people on the left, they think they're the normal. They think they are mainstream. They're not. And Jeff Van Drew proves it.
Yep.
So I think they're going to get a rude awakening come November, something that a reckoning they should have gotten a long time ago.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm actually most frustrated with the Republican Party. Because I keep telling people, I'm like, man, you know, listen, times of chaos are great opportunities for advancement. And this is the most chaotic time in our nation's history. But you have to be able to recognize them and be brave enough to step into them. I think this is an opportunity for the Republican Party, not just to get the majority, but to get the supermajority. This is a great opportunity for them. And I believe that we're letting that slip away unknowingly. Because we're just focusing on the majority. Because I believe that the liberals, you can't even say the Democrats anymore, but, you know, these radicals, every time they get into office, they pull the needle as far to the left as they can. And at this point, they've snapped it off and jumped over a cliff. They've left most of their base standing on top of the platform going, what's going on? But they don't have a home anymore.
Yeah. Well, now a lot of people are asking themselves, if the Republicans do win, which it looks like they're going to win, are they going to be sitting on their hands like they usually do?
That's it.
Or will they be able to achieve something and do something? What do you think is going to happen from your kind of you know, perspective on the ground, being a part of this situation? Do you think they're going to be the same kind of lame duck Republicans, or do you think they'll be able to achieve something and do something?
It matters what type of Republican you elect. That's the God's honest truth.
How does the picture look for you?
I know there's
like Ron Paul Republicans, there's Mitt Romney Republicans.
Right.
There's a big spectrum there.
I'm certainly not Mitt. that guy's a Democrat.
There's Trump Republicans.
There is. Yep. You know, but honestly, I for me, it's about the people. I am a we the people Republican. That's who I am. I want to put the people first. That I believe that the Republican Party is the party of hope and opportunity. I really do believe that. But we have to do the hard work, and I really believe it's hard work. People say it all the time, like, oh, all you talk about is hard work. I'm like, well, that's the reality. It is hard work, but it's supposed to be hard work. That's the thing that I believe that Americans value. And so I want to represent the people more than anything else, even more than a party, the people of my district, because that's where I'm born and raised. So I care deeply for the people of our district. And so I want to make sure that the working class is represented again, because most of us do not feel that we're represented any longer up in Washington, D.C. And we make up the majority of America. The working class does.
So what do you think is likely to be achieved?
By the Republicans?
What could be done? Yeah.
Well, honestly, man, we can do the hard work and actually get our economy back on track. If Biden actually wanted to play ball.
Do you think there's reversing the secret Federal Reserve bailouts, the huge debt we're in?
That's going to take decades.
I mean, yeah.
Honestly. No, there's no way around that.
No, not even decades. It's impossible to pay off the debt. I mean, we're talking about trillions of dollars.
Yeah. No, you can't, as a small business owner, I took a loan out for $35,000 to open up my business. They give you 5 years to pay it off. We paid it off in two because we had a line item in the budget. So create a budget, put a line item in there, and then you cut the fat everywhere else to be able to pay that off. That's what you have to do. There's a lot of money that comes into the federal government. We can dissolve some departments like the Department of Education, Department of Energy. These departments don't do anything. How about we start doing some hard work? It is hard work to do that. People aren't going to like it. You got to be able to take the hits and the other side be able to tell you that you're a Nazi and you look them in the face and you're like, no, I'm not. I'm doing the hard work to put the people first again.
The problem with Federal Reserve debt is when we borrow $1 million from the Federal Reserve, the American government takes out a promissory note. We owe them back $1 million plus interest. So we owe them more money than we borrowed, which makes it literally impossible to pay back, at least to pay back the interest. We could pay back the principal maybe.
Right.
Do you support defaulting on the debt or at least on the interest to the Federal Reserve?
Yeah. It's not a very hard one.
I mean, I think that's a hard one.
I mean, grinding
the whole system.
Sure,
to all,
but I mean, quite honestly, that system sucks anyway.
I agree.
You're right. But it is hard work. You can't just go in there and do it. You can't just rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, for crying out loud, like, how many people have probably lost their lives trying to do that?
Yeah, if we're going to rip a bandage off, we better have another bandage in our other hand with ready to put pressure
on
the wound.
You know, I had a candidate in our debate. Literally yesterday talked about just dissolve the IRS. Well, you can't just dissolve the IRS. You can't just make it go away.
You see this? This is a pre-Federal Reserve $10 bill from the state of Georgia, Bank of Columbus. Before the Federal Reserve, you had money.
Right.
And people would
backed
by a bank with gold in the reserves. Right. And so you could go to New York with this and they'd be like, "Oh, great. It's a banknote. It has value. If I need to." And so they traded it like any other currency.
Right.
The Federal Reserve was just put in place so they could manipulate and control.
Yep. And it's not just here. I mean, it's internationally.
Oh, yeah.
The Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland.
So, I mean, the funny thing is that I think that most of us Americans, until we really start, you know, doing some deep dives into these topics, we think it's a pretty simple answer. Then we start looking at it. We're like, oh, no, it's not. Go back to gun control. Right. So everybody starts going, well, let's let legislators, you know, make new legislation. That's going to make us safe. No, it's not. If legislation made us safe, none of these children would be dead right now because it was illegal for that guy to walk inside the school and shoot the kids. Both of those things are illegal. Shooting the kid is illegal and going inside the school with a gun is illegal.
There's got to be some kind of grand conspiracy going on because we put up signs saying gun-free zone.
Yeah.
How could he have walked past that?
You must need bigger signs.
There's got to be something going on because there's no way to explain how someone could walk past a sign like that with a gun.
Well, here's the frustrating thing, too, because people go, oh, you're making light of it, so you don't care about these kids. right? Which is intellectually dishonest. The problem is we cannot use tragedy. We can never allow ourselves to let tragedy dictate policy. Because if we do that, what's to stop somebody from creating said tragedy to strip you of whatever rights or freedoms they want to next?
That's what Hitler did.
When the Reichstag burned in Germany, Hitler used that as an opportunity to seize people's civil rights.
But so just keeping it on the Federal Reserve stuff, I think it's fascinating because a lot of people running for office would be too scared to even talk about the problems of the Federal Reserve, the manipulation of interest rates, quantitative easing.
Thought I'd be running for office. I mean, look at me. My hands are tattooed, for crying out loud. I never thought I'd be running for office. I'm running for office because I'm sick and tired of what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm running for office for my sons, our next generation. You know, I fought twice for this country overseas. I was one of the first ones into Afghanistan and Iraq. I turned 22 2 days before we went into Iraq. In Kuwait, I was the 10th vehicle to cross the burn from Kuwait into Iraq. I saw firsthand what it looks like for people not to have the same freedoms, the same rights we have guaranteed to us here. It makes all the difference in the world. I had a grown man fall on his knees in front of me through a translator, tell me, why did you guys leave? And he's talking about the Gulf War. He said, if you hadn't left, I wouldn't have had to watch my wife and sister be raped and killed by Saddam's sons.
Those guys were brutal.
Right. So that's what people are capable of. That's what human beings are capable of. We have so many freedoms and rights that guarantee our safety and protection here. That's what I want to see continue. I have sons. I don't want to see violence on the street. I believe that this is the next cycle or two is maybe the last opportunity that we have not to see violence on the streets. And that's desperately what I want. I do not want to see Americans killing Americans. But I want to see our next generation be free men and women because that's their birthright.
It's like people want the federal government to protect our rights, but we have to protect our own rights. We are the federal government.
The government.
But what about the military? Like, who's in charge of the military?
Well, first off, I believe that our rights are God-given and protected by the Constitution.
The government only infringes your rights.
Right.
But they also command the military. It's like Joe Biden's in control of the military. Well, not in control, but he's in command of the military.
I don't know that Joe Biden's in control of much, let's be honest.
Yeah. But he's technically the commander of the military right now.
Which is
scary.
Man, scary, disgusting, all at the same time.
Look at Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, Afghanistan is such a debacle.
It was a surrender.
Iraq was a debacle, too. It showed all signs of a military surrender, not a withdrawal. I mean, we know how to withdraw, tactically withdraw from an area. They did not tactically withdraw. Not only that, so it showed all signs of surrender. Not only that, the real problem is when you're in a conflict and both sides have to agree the conflict's over. When one side just pretty much says, you know what, we give up, we're going home, and the other side hasn't agreed that the conflict's not over. And now these terrorists who have chanted death to America for generations, and now we've enriched them with $85 billion of our warfighting equipment. Well, it's going to kill Americans.
Well, we have a history of doing this. So in the 80s and the Mujahideen and the Iraq-Iran war, there's a long history of especially covert operations giving them, with our tax dollars, all the weaponry that they have, which is absolutely insane that they've been doing this.
I mean, wasn't we trained Saddam, we trained Obama, I mean, or Osama.
Wasn't kind of the same thing. CIA was involved in cocaine smuggling or something like that?
Iran-Contra. Specifically, there's a movie called American Made that actually even implicates Bill Clinton specifically in Arkansas when he was the governor of Arkansas. Yes, lots of crazy story. Tom Cruise played a great movie. The movie still watered down. American Made, great movie with Tom Cruise. Just gives you a little point of view, but waters down the larger scandal that happened with Iran-Contra. That again, drug smuggling, cocaine smuggling, arming rebels inside of Latin America, arming the Iranians, and of course moving on weapons and overthrowing governments, all done by the CIA, while, of course, introducing crack cocaine into poor communities in the
United
States.
Which we need some serious oversight in.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, when I was talking to...
No. It's not, we never got oversight. What we got is Fox News contracts for some of the people who were involved in that thing, which is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. No,
Michael Malice's quote is fantastic. He said, All I'm asking for is the right to the same weapons I paid for the Taliban to have.
Yeah.
Right.
And my response to that statement. That's a great quote. Yeah. All I'm saying is I want a right to the same weapons we paid for the cartels to have.
Yes.
Thanks, Obama.
Woo. Yep. Now they're driving through our streets because the border's wide open.
It's amazing.
There's Obama video. Gives them
good stuff.
That's crazy.
There's video of cartel members with 50 caliber rifles driving through the streets in Texas.
Cool. cool.
Wow.
That's like, you need the police to defend you. Well, you don't. You just need defense. And so there were police, but if the police aren't there, the people have to form militias to defend themselves. And then I'm concerned that the federal government's going to be like, no, you're a terrorist organization trying to defend yourself.
Well,
let the cartels roam free.
In Mexico, there's entire cities like Chiran with tens of thousands of people that have defended themselves from the cartels. And when you look at some of the most severe cartels, they have connections to, of course, U.S. intelligence agencies that have trained them. There was a Mexican secret police that was trained by U.S. Special Forces that literally was one of the worst, that turned into one of the worst Mexican drug cartels out there in all of Mexico, that started to do all these horrible, brutal things. So there's a long history of just involvement by government forces making the situation that much worse when they were previously harmonious.
Is that because they want a weak Mexico so that we can dominate the border?
Well, there's a lot of corruption inside of Mexico and a lot of politicians willing to look the other way. And of course, with the corrupt government, you of course have, you know, a lot of criminals who are using government for their own personal benefit, because the politicians are the true criminals down in that country.
We got to pull up this story. This is big. This is stupid. Probably not going to go anywhere, but NBC News reports House votes to raise minimum age to buy semi-automatic rifles to 21. The provision is poised to be included in a larger legislative package set for a final House vote Wednesday night. So I think that's what they did already, didn't they? Or is this okay? So this is what was passed.
Right.
It's not just the raising the age from 18 to 21, which is so insanely unconstitutional. There's no way that survives. But it also addresses 3D printed guns, the tracking of untraceable guns. Is something going on?
Hot action. I don't know. Was
that we did talk about the Fed, so.
Uh-oh. Something's going on. It's always whenever Luke is here.
Should I go check it out? I'll make sure everything's okay. You guys continue
the conversation.
The
first time we got swatted, Luke was talking, and then like the police just come in.
Luke, I'm going to be so pissed off if I got to spend the night in jail tonight.
So we have this article. We're talking about the bill.
Hey, by the way, real fast, my buddy Joshua Carlton texted me and said he's watching. He said he loves you. So,
oh, cool. Appreciate it.
Josh.
It's pretty serious.
What's happening?
I don't know if you want me to mention.
Yeah, so, So apparently there's something going on. There are some friendly neighborhood cops who are going to be swinging by and checking everything out for us. And hopefully everything will be good. So this is a text message I think they got saying that something suspicious is happening here. They're going to come and check and make sure everything's okay.
So it's basically a swatting again.
Basically, yeah. So, but we got our security guy here. He's going to meet them.
Cool.
But yeah. So
we've it's a good thing we have guns.
Speaking of guns.
Yeah. I have a katana behind me.
And it's a good thing we have security, and a good thing that we have a relationship with the local police.
That's right.
So this is number 9.
I think
we're
so.
We're the bomb
Where's
squad.
Where's my punch
show
card? Oh my,
I know we're really close to that free yogurt.
Yeah,
really close to a free yogurt.
Anyway, sorry for ditching. I had to step out.
Oh no! I mean, it happens. I assumed it's serious if it's going to be happening. So, but what are they coming in or what?
I think they're just going to sweep. They're going to check, make sure everything's good. I'm sure everything's fine. There's been nothing suspicious actually going on.
We know what
here,
the message was that was sent or something.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I can't say too much about what we've done for security.
We're secure.
But I would say we're actually well above secure at this point. I'm not super worried about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it can be disruptive, I guess. So yeah, there you go, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. I just say, we got swatting again. I kind of feel like this sounds a little bit more than a swatting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so this is a little interesting, a little more casual. I want to hear more details on it because I guess it was a text message that was sent, and I'm not sure.
A text
who was
to
sent
who?
To.
Yeah, I'll say, who's sure getting a text message?
Yeah,
well,
I'm
look, look,
sure.
Look, guys.
Yeah, no worries.
Considering what just happened in Maryland,
right.
we're about, what, 45 minutes away from where that guy showed up at Kavanaugh's. He flew from California with weapons, planning to kidnap and assassinate Brett Kavanaugh. I can't say I'm surprised. We're not that far away. So there's creepy weirdos.
But so let's talk about this.
There's also reports of protests happening outside of Kavanaugh's place right now.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Which is, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Really, all of this boils down to, everybody talks about it being, you know, a gun issue. It's not a gun issue. I think Joe Rogan probably said it best. You know, we have a mental health issue kind of couched into a gun issue, disguised as a gun issue. Now, yeah, sure, having a mental health issue disguised as a gun issue is a problem. However, really, this is a value of human life issue. We no longer value someone else as just a human being, you have value just because I believe you're created in the image of God. So for me, you have value just in that alone. We may disagree fundamentally on a lot of social issues and maybe even religious, maybe moral issues. However, you still have value as a human being. And yeah, most people don't have that anymore.
That's right. Part of the desperation of 1928 that I brought up early. Right. Weimar Germany, late Weimar Germany, early Nazi Germany, when they started to dehumanize other people, probably because they were wealthy and that they didn't, the people that were desperate weren't wealthy anymore and they were hating on the wealth. And so desperation breeds, you know, desperate actions. Like, I need that food. Why do you get that food? Why were you born into family that can have food when I?
Right. But for a long time in America, I think that we got to a point where it wasn't so much that we were going that way, but it wasn't so much that we were needing food. It was that I liked the Jordans that you had. Mm-hmm. And that's a different value system altogether as a society. You know, for us to be wrapped around that kind of stuff, that's a problem. Because I think that's where we start not valuing a human being anymore. And I think that's a very dangerous path for us to go down.
You're talking about like materialism.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even materialism. It's just everything's so superficial. You're not caring about a person. And so we have to get back to the point as a society. Because I firmly believe that Americans, when we're united, we're unstoppable. We've shown that over and over again. We showed it at 9/11. We showed it in World War I and World War II. We showed it over and over again. But we've got to get to a point, and I hate that it takes tragedy for it to happen, but we have to get to a point where we are looking at each other no longer as these different buckets that we put ourselves in, this identity politics, but because you're a human being, you have value to me. We have to get back there.
I was talking about humans like in crowds, and what do the birds think of us when they fly overhead and look at us, like at a rock concert with 20,000 people all moving in unison, and they were like, my girlfriend was telling me, like, they must think we are the most terrifying species on earth. Because when formation occurs, right, and we come together, it's insanely unstoppable, like the power of the human being.
Right.
And I, for better or worse, I think of the Nazi, the crowds out when Hitler's giving a speech and you see 10,000 Nazis all like marching in succession, like it can be horribly manipulated, but sure, it's also.
But we can also use it to inspire.
Yeah.
And I think that's my hope. My hope, you know, people talk about, like, oh, well, you're going to be a politician. I'm like, my prayer, honestly, is I never become a politician. My prayer is I become a statesman, someone who focuses on the next generation. A politician only focuses on maintaining next power. Election. They focus on the next election, yeah, cycle. A statesman is only focusing on the next generation. And we have to think long term like that. What is this going to do for the next generation of people? Mm-hmm. If we start thinking like that again, I think that provides hope.
What are your tactics, like your humanization tactics, when you personally seek to humanize, you know, crowds or people you disagree with?
So a lot of it comes back down to my faith. It really does. You know, and I understand that people are searching for things. And I think a lot of times we misunderstand what we're searching for. But understanding and valuing a person just because they have value, because they're creating the image of God, to me, that's such a great way for me to be able to relate to somebody, because I can cut through all the other stuff if we disagree. I don't care what it is. Abortion, police, defunding the police, we call it whatever it is, Second Amendment, I can still value you as a person. And that is very important for us to get to.
When you were at war,
I was just finish that.
Wait, when you were in the Middle East, and did that happen with the enemy combatants? Was there a sense of humanization there, or did you have to just pretend like it wasn't there, or what was that like?
A little bit of both. Honestly, I remember going over the first time. It was a very difficult thing for me to process. Because if what I believe is true, and I believe it is, you know, as far as my faith, then I believe that every single person over there, that their life ended, they were separated from a God who loves them forever. So that was a very difficult thing for me to process and get to a spot to where I was okay with. But once you're over there and you're operating, you're performing, you know, the operation, you're protecting your brother beside you, and it's a completely different thing altogether.
So do you think that social media has played like the biggest role in dehumanizing other people?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to stay behind a keyboard and scream and shout at each other and, you know, type in all caps if you're really mad.
But it translates into the real world in ways that many of us didn't think were going to happen. We kept saying Twitter wasn't real life.
Right.
But then that hatred people feel, they bring to the real world.
You're right.
There's this video, we can't show it in full, but it's went up at 8:12. Secret Service takedown of a protester during POTUS motorcade. From Fox LA. This is one of the craziest videos I've seen. I don't know if it's actually a Secret Service takedown. There's a woman who walks into the street in the middle of the motorcade of the president, bullhorning.
How did she get there?
And the cops run up and slam her to the ground, and she attacks the cops.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, well, I mean, dumb, yeah, crazy, yeah.
It's wow. like people are turning into zombies.
Well, and they also want this. That's the thing. And that's my thing even with the mass shootings and stuff like that is, you know, these people want to be memorialized forever. Even if it's for something bad, they want to be known. Yeah, they want this time.
And the corporate media, according to many scientific studies now, actually promotes and inspires these yep. mass shootings because of the way that they cover these events, the
over
way that they
again.
Show the picture of the individual, then they, yeah. the way that they make him infamous, the way that they talk about their manifesto, the details that they give about him. This essentially creates more mass killers. There's a reason when someone runs onto a stadium floor during a sports ball game that the cameras don't point to him because right. they know it's going to inspire other people to do so. The same thing happens with mass shooters. So if we yep. really wanted to stop it, we would be covering this differently, but
very different.
They don't. MSNBC and all these other corporate media organizations are literally creating copycat killers and spurring on similar yeah. situations. This is why Buffalo was so close to the situation in Texas.
Yep.
And there might be even another one with how they've been reporting on the Texas situation. With all you have to do is, again, stop focusing on this monster, start focusing on the victims, and you would not only shift the narrative, but you would stop future shootings and mass murderers.
You actually start humanizing.
Exactly.
Again.
Absolutely. And that's what the corporate media should be doing. If they really wanted to stop all these, you know, very violent events, they would stop promoting these violent murderers and giving them the attention that they want.
Well, they don't want to stop them. They want the click. But honestly, exactly. I actually think that you would get better ratings if you simply focused on the emotion of it, on the fact that you focus on the victims. I think you get a lot more engagement from people. But instead, they focus on the opposite.
You were also saying how it's like people want to be heard. This is their way of being heard or seen. And I wonder if someone is arrested for an attempted mass shooting or mass shooting, maybe, but they're still alive, if we should interview them and let them speak to be heard because
then more people will do it.
But you'll also see how,
on TV.
But you can see how crazy it is as well. Yeah. If we hide it, then it's like.
You call them a monster for what they are. Like the people who do these shootings are monsters.
Yes, but giving them attention means more crazy people.
Don't name them. Yeah. Don't even name them. Don't show their
pictures. That's not it. That's not it. Let me tell you guys a story. I love this story. It's about 11 years ago. I'm hanging out. I was in Virginia, actually. And 4chan had an operation called Operation King Cone. That's all it was. They were watching EarthCam, which is live streams from around the world. Someone pulled up Times Square and they said, can we use the collective power of the internet to knock over this street cone? In the Times Square camera next to, I think it was TGIF, was a little street cone. And they said, okay, we've got the meme up. We've got the page up. Let's knock it over. People kept trying crazy things. Someone ordered a pizza and told the pizza guy, and the pizza guy's like, I don't know what's going on. You see the guy on the bike ride up with the pizza. Everyone's spamming like crazy in the thread, like, he's going to do it. He left. Then finally, at the end of the day, some people are walking by, some young guys, and then all of a sudden they walk past it, stop, walk backwards, like rewinding, and then knock the cone over, and then wave to the camera, and everybody's cheering, saying, like, we did it. Then a woman walks by, picks the cone up, pulls a crown out of her purse and puts it on top of the cone because it was Operation King Cone. The point is, people are just trying to move the needle in any way possible.
Sure.
These are people who are bored. They're lonely. They feel like they don't matter at all.
Yeah.
Anything that gets them any kind of acknowledgement. It doesn't need to be their name. It needs to be the fact that we talked about the tragedy, period, is what they want. And they get it even if you don't show them. They sit back and they watch afterwards saying, all of this because of me. I don't know how you stopped it. I think what we need is, I'll tell you the simple answer is, we need dads.
Yep.
A lot of the, I think the common profile is no dad.
Right.
Yep.
SSRIs as well, heavy use, particularly in many of these particular cases.
Sure.
Self-harm, self-abuse, and mental health issues, also a very big one.
But how much of that stems from the family unit too?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen an attack on the family unit for decades.
Exactly.
And the pharmaceuticals is no joke, dude.
Sure.
I don't know. How do you quantify it though? How do you know how much damage Adderall is doing to 13-year-olds?
Right.
How can you, I'm asking a genuine question.
You got to look at how much the use of it's gone up. I mean, it's through the roof from what it used to be. So you're having everybody, and it's, I think it's partially parents too. You know, we as parents, we got to make sure we have to be much more hesitant to put our kids on stuff that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even vaccines, for crying out loud. I mean, so, and the reason I say that, so for my son, my oldest son, you know, I got him a flu shot. This was a few years back, and I mean, he had a small seizure after the flu shot. This was long before, you know, COVID and everything else. And so it made us go, cool, we're going to have a pause on that for a while until we figure out what's going on. But
that makes
we're
you
so
a crazy
quick.
Conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I'm going to do everything I have to do to protect my kids.
Right. I mean, we had the drummer from, former drummer from The Offspring.
Right.
He had Guillain-Barré syndrome. So they were like, we don't think you should get this vaccine. He got kicked out of the band for it.
Right.
And they were like, oh, sorry, we can't work with you. It's like, you'd think 17 years would earn you some loyalty, but some people are just, they don't care about that stuff.
No.
Yeah, when a kid's on amphetamines, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to give my kid amphetamines. But then right. all of a sudden it's like, oh, Pfizer and my doctor said it was okay now. I guess I'll give my kid amphetamines. Like, just because.
Now, federally, what do we do? Because that's where my head goes now, right? We have to remove some of the protections from some of these companies that they're protected. They can do anything they want to do without any kind of recourse.
No liability.
Same thing with that. Same thing with Facebook and Twitter and everything else. Me as an individual, I can't sue them. You know, but we should be able to.
Yeah, you get hurt. You know, it doesn't matter if your job forced you to do this.
Right.
If the media told you to do this, if the government told you to do this, if your doctor told you to do this, you get hurt. You're the one who's going to be responsible paying for your own medical bills. No one else is going to be covering or helping you in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, Biden likes to talk about how the gun industry is unaccountable, not liable.
Well, the only industry.
Yeah, the only industry. Lying. Well, that's not the case here, obviously, with all the information that we have in front of
us. They have more accountability than probably any other industry right now.
I never understood why the big pharmaceutical, you could call them a mafia. I've never understood why these people who literally make things that you inject into your body and absorb into your bloodstream have zero accountability. What is going on there?
I think it's because they feel like if something does go wrong, which it's bound to eventually, that they'll get sued into oblivion and then they can no longer function. And the value of pharmaceuticals is that modern medicine's a miracle.
Absolutely.
But the problem is it's the business of medicine. They're incentivized to have people be ill so that they buy their medicine. Like, if the fire department was incentivized to put out fires and they got paid more for every fire they put out.
We have to evacuate the building.
You better believe that you'd see a lot more fires. You guys, I love you. I think
we're just going to leave keep the live stream going, but we have to evacuate the building.
All right. We'll be right.
You heard from the top.
The stream will just stay up as it is.
Please stay tuned.
And
we'll
just
be back.
Please keep watching in case something happens, but we have to evacuate
the
building.
Do you have the live room break? Go to TommyAltman.com.
We're going to grab some drink. We're being told we need to evacuate the building. So keep watching, keep the stream up, and can you do the wide shot?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you'll get to watch something happen. I don't know. We have to get out of the building.
Cool.
Let's go.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. Is it working? We're streaming. I'm so tired. I have one button in my control panel, and it's my face. Lydia has all the other buttons. I'm so tired.
Oh, my gosh. That was fun.
How are you guys doing?
Anyway.
Where's Tommy?
I don't know.
We owe Tommy another show.
Yeah, Tommy's a...
We owe you another show, man.
I had to explain graphing to a few of those guys, so we took a little longer than expected.
That's right.
Well, yeah, so what happened was, turns out, very obvious and immediate false alarm, and then Ian immediately started explaining graphene, and we all just got wrapped up for 3 hours.
Hexagonally lattice carbon. Looks like a honeycomb.
Oh, my gosh. On and on.
All right. Okay.
Nice night.
That's fine. That's great.
We're going to do 2 hours now, right?
This is the big payoff, you guys.
Shout out to everyone in the chat room. They were very entertaining.
And they were keeping us.
Chaircast, IRL.
You guys know how to party.
Shapiro pun about the doorknob.
I feel like it's
I heard, you know what the craziest thing was? When we were outside, right, and the cops are in the suite, we just kept hearing, coffee, brand coffee. And I was like, coffee. And I was like, what? Looking around, and then I open the chat, and all I see is chats, coffee brand, coffee. I'm like, what's happening? Quartering. Jeremy. Right. He gave us $400.
More than that.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Shout out to Coffee Brand Coffee. Is that coffeebrandcoffee.com?
I have no idea.
Let's find out.
I was like, my mood was like on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like, I just want to just lay me down in the bed and close my eyes. I don't want to think about this anymore. And then I was being kind of vague in the tweets, but I'll explain a little bit. The supervisor cop walks over, and then I was just like immediately at 10. I'm like, yes!
It's over.
So basically, credible threat. That's it.
That's all.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Yep. So, you know, normally, let me clarify a few things for everybody. My Lord, it's past midnight.
It's so late.
I keep seeing people be like, I can't believe this is real. Like, how does it keep happening? Certainly the police realize it's not happening anymore. Okay. Did you watch the cops walk in the room? I can't believe people are like, okay, thinking this is not actually happening. The cops walked in the room. And for one, we can't show everything that's happening for security reasons. We can't just film all these squad cars and vehicles.
And protocols, and there's operational right. security as well that we want to be.
When the bomb robot came out, they told us absolutely no filming is allowed.
Of course not.
Now, I will say Chicken City has a live audio stream on the property all the time. So you can always, you know, people were tuning into that. But what was I going to say?
Hot chicken action. That's what you're
saying. Yeah,
hot chicken action. There's a rat snake now attacking.
Snake.
Oh yeah, it's eating the eggs.
You guys party at a different level around here. Yeah. So I'll give you that.
So wildlife stuff.
I want to explain something. Every single threat results in a police response.
That's right.
Every single one, and people are like, "Why don't the cops realize it's fake?" It's because they have to respond for that reason. When people do swattings, their goal is to shock the system to the point where the police don't care anymore. But that's not how it works these days. When you get swatted, the cops show up in full force. Now we have multiple security. I'm not going to explain. We have armed guards. I won't go into great detail about that. And so now when we get swatted, there's a security protocol. Unfortunately for us, you know, because we've had other issues and we know we've got security. We know how to handle it. This time it was credible. And considering what happened in Chevy Chase with Brett Kavanaugh, which just happened today, some guy came out with zip ties and weapons. When we got word that something was going on, I was just like, oh, whatever. Like, you know, Lydia jumped up and I'm like, oh, is this thing happening? Oh, whatever. We have guards for this. We have protocol for this. And then I started getting some messages, and then the key information as to what the issue was contained, it was credible.
Hmm. I will say, being a special operator, your security is pretty good.
It's good.
Pretty tight.
Yeah.
The issue is that, I can't give out too much details to explain how this went down, because obviously people would try to exploit it. But we had a credible threat, and so that's why you see me get up and leave the room. We assess the situation, then I came back, we have to get up. And then, I was a little bit vague about it. And I'm not going to give away too much about the type of units that were dispatched, but they were specialists. They were not just beat cops. And, we had a variety of different branches come out to take care of the credible threat. And, everyone's fine. Everything's safe. It's late. I'm tired.
So as I was saying, the pharmaceutical industry is the Federal Reserve
and the intelligence agencies.
I want to do that again.
That's overtime. Yeah. That's definitely overtime.
So tomorrow we're going to have Tommy back on the show.
That's right.
It totally brutal, man. I apologize for you getting dragged into all this.
That's all right. No, we got to hang out and have some good conversations.
We saved a crawfish.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. There's worse time to spend your life, so I mean, we're good.
You know, it made me think of security in general, because I think a lot of American people, at least it never crossed my mind. We had the cops, everything was taken care of, civil society. But it's not really naturally like that. You really gotta take care of your own, you know? So
well, you do. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I think everything, I'm sure we'll talk more about it later. But I mean, the reality is, I mean, look over the last, you know, few weeks, the things that have happened. You are responsible to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Shout out to the police, man. You guys rock.
Yeah.
So
amazing dudes. Amazing people.
We have any analytics, 455,000 total viewers since the show started. Yeah. And
yes. But most of it is an empty room.
Empty room.
I am so amused that the empty room was more interesting than we were. I was a little
Yeah, the
perturbed.
Views went up.
I know. We're like,
wait a minute.
Meditation.
Everyone was saying that this was better than CNN.
I
should have left the website up. At least people would have been checking out the website.
Yeah.
So whenever,
elevator music next time.
Yeah, right?
So here's how it goes down. We have a security issue. We increase our security to adapt to it.
Yep.
Next time a security issue happens, it has no effect. That's how basically things were going until the bomb squad ended up showing up the last time. And then we adapted our security and we've solved all these problems. And most of these adaptations are kind of like really basic, simple things that don't really matter that much. It's like, oh, you know,
Common sense.
Like do this, then that, like there's no big deal. This time, it's credible. I don't think we have to worry about it. Like, it's just, I don't know.
You got to be better. It's better safe than sorry. That always in times like that, you know, I mean, no matter what, no matter how many times it happens, it's definitely better to be safe than sorry.
This, you know, it's since January, we've had 8 other swattings and then one instance of the bomb squad coming out. Yeah. But they're so obviously bunk garbage.
Right.
So that we adapted our security model and there's no issue. Some people are saying like they don't understand why this hasn't happened to Ben Shapiro. The Daily Wire, they have a lot of money, you know?
They have a lot of money.
They have, and it's crazy. I don't want to say too much, but, every people with more experience than us know how to take care of this and better than we've been able to. So it's really that simple. I think the show's young. We've had tremendous and rapid growth over the past year or so. Now we're building that security protocol so that these things don't happen.
Well, the other thing too is I personally didn't expect to be at this level of like influence, and I don't view us as being extremists or anything. All we do is talk about the news and current events, and for some reason, so unbelievably inflammatory to people, they think they need to make threats against us. I don't get it.
I think it just comes with the territory in the entertainment industry. A lot of it is security based. Like you look at Hollywood and the way they built like Paramount Studios, it's just a walled you can't even get in without, you know,
yeah,
crazy.
We got some, we've had issues. People know about them. It's crazy. There was when we lived in the South Jersey area, there was a really famous YouTuber who lived a few blocks away. Literally no security at all. It was just like a residential house and he's got like a expensive car in his driveway. And I'm just like, wow. Millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 12:22. So I don't think, also YouTube crashed and deleted all the super chats, you know, whatever.
Right.
Here I can just, I can remember one. It's Jeremy Hambly saying to buy his coffee.
I could use some of that coffee brand coffee.
I know, right now. Yeah.
I could go for some coffee brand coffee this morning because I got to wake up at 7 a.m.
Oh, good morning, everyone. It's 12:23 where I'm at.
Yeah, it was funny. So when the cop walks up to me and he's like going over the report, he's like, it's now Friday.
Thanks,
and I was like,
bro.
No, it isn't.
Happy Friday.
It's Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday. You're right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, all right. Tommy, do you want to shout anything out?
No, just go ahead. Check out, well, it's the middle of the night now, but check out the website, TommyAltman.com. I appreciate you guys. Seriously, I really do think that this is the future of news. Yeah. I think corporate news is dead, and this is what's being birthed out of it. It's, hey, listen, if this is what came out of COVID alone, then I think maybe it was worth it all. So that's great.
This has been the change, you know, longer form podcasts and everything. So I will say, yeah, we're definitely not able to get a members only show up tonight, so I apologize for that. But we're gonna have Tommy back tomorrow, so we can have another shot at this, and smash the like button, subscribe, share the show, whatever. What a fun night, huh? You can follow the show at TimCastIRL. Follow us on Instagram. We have clips. You can follow me personally on Instagram, where I basically, I don't know, I just post stupid memes or something and tweets or stuff like that. I'm really tired. Luke.
I like doing that. Thanks for coming on. I'm excited for the conversation tomorrow. LukeUncensored.com is my website. Hope to see some of you guys there. Ian?
Hug your friends, man. Get some rest. Be kind. Be cool. Catch you guys later.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to get outside this evening because I never get to get out this time of night. We saw crawfish. We saw a bunch of lightning bugs, which I always love. You guys can follow me on Twitter and minds.com at sourpatchlids, as well as sourpatchlids.me.
Yeah, let's see. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow for sure when we're all rested up. And, you know, it was a crazy day with what all that happened with the Supreme Court justice. And then just this happening here is just like, ugh. I'm going to make me a hot cocoa with some whipped cream.
Time for bed.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody, for the 3 hours, only to come back and get a quick, like, 5-minute update. But we'll be back tomorrow. Of course, I'll be back at 10 a.m. at youtube.com/TimCastNews. I'll have a segment up there. I don't know what I'll talk about. Maybe it'll be news. Maybe I'll just talk about life because this stuff's crazy. And we'll see y'all then.
Bye, guys.